We are not a fit for everyone. We are the premium option in the market.
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 46 of Finding True Wealth. This is Nick. I'm here with Jim.
Hey, everyone.
So today, we're going to be talking about the value of our financial planning fee. But first, Jim and I, we went separately to the Michigan game last Saturday against SMU. Michigan's now 2-1 after that disappointing loss at Notre Dame. And we're still kind of not sure if Michigan's any good, because Notre Dame's kind of looked rough in the last couple games, too. But how was your game day experience last weekend?
It was fun. It was a chance to get the kids out. First time they were in the big house.
Oh, that was their first time?
First time in.
Wow.
Yeah. So the weather was great, but hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 110 degrees on the field, probably.
Yeah. No escaping the sun.
It was at least 100 in the stands, right?
Yes.
I got sunburned and definitely, had to go outside and buy some $5 water bottles, too. And we found the free water bottle area, or not water bottle, but the area where they give you little paper cups.
Oh, nice.
Did you see that?
No.
The line was like 100 deep.
Yeah.
And they're all students because, they can't afford a $4 or $5 water bottle.
Yeah, makes sense.
But we were talking earlier about the MGO blog article that was put up yesterday about how Brian wrote something about how it's kind of not fun going to the games when it's 100 degrees at least. But his main point was not the temperature, but it was, the length of dead time. I mean, we left after the third quarter because there's kind of a blowout, but the third quarter to me was unbearable.
Yeah, it was, it dragged on and on with the flags and the timeouts and then the timeout right back to the other timeout. And
the reviews, the injuries, the timeouts, the TV timeouts. I mean, I couldn't take it.
Yeah, my kids even said, boy, I don't think they get this hurt this much when we watch it on TV.
It doesn't seem like it,
no.
That's for sure. But I remember we went back to the tailgate to pick up our stuff on the way out, and the game was still going on, and it was like a 3:30 start, and it was like 7 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and there was still a lot of time left in the fourth quarter. The game should have been over.
Yeah.
So just dragged on. But anyway, this week is Nebraska. We're opening up the Big Ten play. And Nebraska, okay, they're about to be 0-3.
Oh, yeah.
They're not very good. But, you can't bank on it. Although Michigan's favored by 18. But I'm not going to bet.
No.
I'm not going to bet.
No.
All right, so today we're talking about the value of a fee. Jim and I met with a prospect a while back, and they're a young couple, seemingly in great shape, right? Making good money,
a lot of smart decisions.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. They're adding to the 401, strong cash flow. They have a nice emergency fund. They've started an after-tax brokerage account. They have life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any kids, but they've already started a college account.
Yeah, took advantage of some matching on a 529.
Yeah, you don't see that very much.
No.
They're in their house. They're happy with the house. They have a low mortgage rate. And thinking about early retirement. So they called us. They said, we want to talk to the CFP and make sure we're on track. And that's where the lead-in comes in. We're not for everyone. We are the premium option in the market. They didn't want to work with us because they didn't see the value of our service. They ultimately balked at our fee. However, if they would have engaged with us, we want to kind of go through the ways that they could have improved their decently good situation and take them from good to great.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, I mentioned that they are adding to the 401, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not maxing out both 401s. They're simply adding to one and adding a little bit to the other, but they could be maxing out on both. And what's the limit?
$18,500.
That's right.
And he made comments about the taxes being a you know, yeah. having to feel the pain of paying all those taxes.
That's right. When you're making good money, the easiest way to take, you know, a tax deduction is with the 401, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're not taking advantage of the 401, okay? Also, they're not considering a Roth 401k. My personal view is that if you're in the 32% tax bracket, you should be thinking about the pre-tax, you know, the pre-tax 401k for most of it. But if you're not in that tax bracket, why not consider the Roth 401k, particularly if you are making too much for a Roth IRA? So they didn't consider that either.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have traditional IRAs and still have strong cash flow, they could do
a backdoor Roth as well.
That's right, a backdoor Roth. Really easy to put away $5,500 each and kind of sneak it into a Roth IRA. And by the way, you could take the full 18.5 for the 401 for each of them and still do that backdoor Roth. Mm-hmm. So you could still save your $37,000 pre-tax plus $11,000 Roth. You know, that's a great way to optimize retirement deposits.
Right. And we talked the other day, too, about the benefits of a Roth IRA outside of just the tax deduction right away. There's a lot of reasons to want to have money in a Roth account, especially when you fast forward into retirement years and being able to avoid the RMDs and different things like that.
I couldn't agree more. And then HSA, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if they're HSA eligible. We're about to put into our fourth quarter newsletter and weekly emails talking about evaluating your health insurance plan and making sure that if you want to contribute to an HSA that you have the right type of policy. So as a reminder, HSA is the only triple tax-free benefit in the tax code. Deposits go in tax deductible. They can grow tax deferred and they can come out tax-free in retirement for healthcare. And if you go back to episode 44, Retirement Funding Priorities, we kind of talk about these things. The importance of the HSA is the number one place to start. And then depending on how much tax you pay with your marginal rate, going pre-tax or Roth 401k or, you know, a Roth IRA. Okay, so they have good cash flow and they've been putting money away in the bank. So they have their emergency fund, fantastic, but their emergency fund is probably like 10 times too big.
Yeah, it's really big.
Yeah, so it's like they've been saving money but haven't made any decisions on where it goes. The good part about that is they haven't been spending it, right?
Yeah.
And if you have extra money, there's three things you can do. One, spend it. Two, you save or invest. And three is to pay stuff off. So they didn't do any of it. They almost did none of it, but they did save it, okay? So that's good. But I think that we can optimize, right? And how do we optimize?
Right. I mean, that raises the question of, are they saving it to the right place?
Yes.
And the reality is, in a bank account, they were probably earning 0.5% at best, right? There's not a lot of money to be earned in a savings account at the bank. So there was definitely opportunity to find more efficient ways to invest that money to attempt to achieve a much better return than that.
And they could have done great over the last year.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. It's a shame, the opportunity cost. So we definitely would have not allowed that money to be in cash given the other circumstances over the last few years. I mentioned in the introduction that they have life insurance,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's sometimes I'm surprised how often people do not have any life insurance outside the employer plan that's provided for free, you know, you know, generally my philosophy on life insurance is we want to pay off debt, we want to put the kids through college, and we want to provide income replacement for our family or for our spouse for X number of years, you know, whether it's, you know, 5 or 10 years into the future after I'm gone. So we look at the balance on the mortgage and we look at the fact that there's no kids in this case, and we look at income replacement, okay, and we come up with a number of recommended coverage
mm-hmm.
for usually what, you know, 20 years is a good start.
20 years usually seems to be a good fit for most people.
Yeah, there are different terms available, 10 years, 15, 20, 30. You know, for most people, 20 years seems to be a pretty good number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your kids, they're kind of on their own after 20 years.
Right.
You know, your mortgage would, if you're working with us, probably be paid off after 20 years.
And you've had time to accumulate more through savings.
Yeah. If you're saving 15% of your money, after 20 years, you're getting to be self-insured.
Right.
Right. So in this case, these people had a ridiculous amount of life insurance, like probably twice as much as I would have recommended, and for a longer term than I would have recommended. And as a result, their premiums were twice as much than they should have been. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 30 years of additional premiums.
And they also carried a really high amount of coverage on a wife who's not currently working. So yeah. Income replacement.
Well, okay, she is working. She is making she's making money, okay?
Oh, right.
But she had a lot of coverage, a considerable amount of coverage relative to her income, okay? So, again, it's not like the cost of life insurance when you're younger is outrageous, but you just don't want to waste your premium dollars paying twice as much as you need to be paying. So I looked at that as a way to save about $1,500 a year for this couple, which pretty much like would cover our fee,
yeah,
you know,
easily.
You know what I mean? So the last part was they want to retire early, okay? So when you are, you know, in your mid-30s and you say, you know, I want to retire at 55 instead of 65, and you have a lot of time to try and make that happen, right? And there's still a lot of headwinds at 55. I like to say that 65 is the new 62, because 20 years ago when we started in the business, people looked at 62 as a major milestone for when Social Security can start and as a great time to start retirement if you've done the right things. But I think now 65 is the new 62 because of Medicare. So not only is Social Security reduced at 62, but you can't get Medicare at 62. And health insurance is ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know, it's like $1,000 a person at that age per month, $1,000 a month. So at 65, you are Medicare eligible, and your Social Security is rolling up for 3 extra years. So it's much more attractive, right, at 65. So imagine 55, right? A couple at 55, they're paying health insurance, $2,000 a month, maybe. You know, I'm speculating, for 10 years. And that's a monumental challenge with no Social Security to help. But if you have 20 years or more to try and plan for that, right, and you have strong cash flow and you're making good money, I mean, anything's possible, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the key to that is the planning.
Yeah, you just, you know, you can't just save money, right? You have to be as opportunistic and efficient at every single level, you know, whether it's the HSA, the backdoor Roth, the maxing out the 401s, saving the money on being smarter with life insurance and banking that money, right? And even then, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Ultimately, I think it depends on the lifestyle, right? How much money do you need to live to be happy, you know, to maintain the same lifestyle? Because if you're spending, you know, $10,000 a month, you know, to have a 50-year retirement is pretty hard, unless you're like, you know, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or you know, one of these guys. So bad example with Steve Jobs. My apologies. Terrible. I was thinking of someone else. But you know, what else do we talk about with early retirement? And the sad part here is they don't know, because they're not working with us, right? They don't know.
Maybe they're listening
to this podcast, you know, but you know, hopefully if they are listening to this podcast, you know, they can get some free advice, right? You know, the objective here is to, you know, to have people listen to this and, you know, so they can get pointed in the right direction, and we can, you know, kind of give them a push, right? Help inspire them to make the right choices. And then as things get more and more complicated or difficult and they need more help, then they come to us, you know, for the one-on-one, right?
Right. I mean, the most important thing is always time, and it's leaving yourself enough time to make those adjustments. So the sooner you talk to somebody that can help point you in that right direction and give you that push the right way, you'll be so far ahead of the game.
Yep, I agree. So ultimately, in this case, it did not work out to engage to help these people. The fee was kind of in the way. Our fees are very average with respect to the industry, but you know, apparently they didn't see it that way. So we learn from every engagement that we have with people, and we just wanted to kind of share this experience because I think that anyone can learn from you know, from what we saw here. So yeah, anything else you want to add?
I think that, you know, when we really step back and look, so many small decisions that we can point you in more than make up for whatever costs are involved with working with someone. I mean, even if it's something simple as being in the most inexpensive share class.
Sure.
You know, people think they're doing it on their own, they're doing great, and they don't realize we have access to a share class that's 75 basis points less, and right there alone we more than justified the fee.
You got it. And oftentimes people are only focused on the investments, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we serve as a great gateway to institutional managers through our UMAX program. But also, in my view, right, where we add the most value is with the financial planning. All these things that we listed here. And at no point in our, you know, 15, 16 minute podcast here did we talk about how we want to invest the money, mm-hmm. right? Because that's the vehicle for growth. But all these other decisions, you know, are the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. And it's, I think, where we add the most value.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
All right, well, hey, thanks for listening. And we hope that you subscribe and we'll tune in next time. And again, if you have $500,000 in your portfolio and you want a second opinion, or you're thinking about early retirement like these folks, reach out to us at peakwm.com and you can book online right there on the website. If you have a question for myself directly, you can reach me, nick@peakwm.com and
jim@peakwm.com.
See how we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.